Hello, I'm Scott Cullen, host of Locked On Fantasy Hockey on the Locked On Podcast Network, and today's episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. Rock Auto has amazing selection for just about any kind of vehicle at reliably low prices. They have all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. So for today's episode, I'm going to go through my pick for the Jack Adams Award as Top Coach of the Year, and then some power rankings as we head towards the playoffs, some idea of where teams finished the regular season and where they are heading into the postseason. So now, first up, a few guidelines that I have for picking the Jack Adams Award. And you know what? First up, a team has to exceed expectations. If we set their expectations as some kind of guideline for the level of talent on the roster, it's really difficult to give credit to the coach if the team doesn't at least fare better than they were expected to. That doesn't mean that teams at the top of the standings can't yield a coach of the year, but if those teams are, because even if those teams are more dominant than they, you know, were expected to be, then those coaches should be in this, in the discussion, and they will be. If there's adversity to overcome, significant injuries is usually a big one, but the, over this past season, there have been a few cases of adversity for teams to deal with. If you've managed to overcome adversity, that probably helps. There's an added layer of difficulty there for the coaches to navigate. If everything is smooth sailing from the entire season, from the time the puck drops at the beginning of the year right through to the end, well, there's probably some credit due to the coach for that too, making sure that they kept steering the ship, but it's also more impressive if the coach needs to steer the ship through some choppy waters. More recently, I've leaned into the notion that a team needs to have strong underlying statistics, you know, winning shot and expected goal counts, because there's some tactical soundness to putting your team in that position, that they can consistently create more chances. And, you know, that could be related to X's and O's, could be related to how they deploy their players. But both of those should factor into whether a team is moving the puck in the right direction. Whether those chances ultimately go in the net may not be a huge function of coaching. And finally, and this might be the most important piece, beware the coach whose goaltending was outstanding, because that has a major impact on the standings and is not necessarily a point in favor of the NHL head coach. And that doesn't mean that you can't win the coach of the year if you have good goaltending. This isn't an exercise in trying to find the person with the worst goaltending, but there is obviously a greater level of difficulty involved and if you have a strong team despite a goaltender as opposed to because of a goaltender. So with that out of the way, here are the coaches that would be on my Jack Adams ballot for the 2021 season. We'll start with a few honorable mentions, I guess, and Peter DeBoer in Las Vegas. And now his candidacy is a little bit boring. His team was expected to be great, and they have been great. They're going to have a shot at the league's best record, have the best goal differential. Starting goaltender Robin Leonard missed a good chunk of the season, but they also had Marc-Andre Fleury there to step in, and he had one of his best seasons. Alex Pietrangelo, their big free agent acquisition in the offseason, missed 15 games with an injury, but you know, these haven't been huge hurdles for Vegas to overcome, especially with as much talent as they have on that roster. And that's probably going to keep DeBoer from winning, even if the Golden Knights are on top of the league standings. And this is similar for other top coaches, Jared Bednar in Colorado, Sheldon Keefe in Toronto, John Cooper with Tampa Bay, all had teams that were expected to be contenders and they've performed at that level. It can be really hard though to exceed expectations when the expectations are already very high. All right, so on to coaches that would be on my ballot and we'll start with Dean Evason in Minnesota. The Wild came into the season without an established first line center, so their expectations were pretty modest. Their preseason points over under was 61.5, just ahead of the New York Rangers, just behind the Winnipeg Jets. So, you know, don't let there be any, you know, revisionist history about what expectations were for the Wild this year. They were not expected to be this good. And with one game remaining on the schedule, the Wild are 14 points ahead of the Winnipeg Jets, who also have one game left. They're 15 points ahead of the New York Rangers, that have a team that has already completed its schedule. So the Wild have definitely exceeded expectations. Now, a lot of the credit gets heaped upon Kirill Kaprizov, their star rookie, and he's been great, and they've had solid goaltending. But you also have to look at the underlying numbers here. In the Wild, control 46.7% of shot attempts, 51.6% of expected goals. So there's probably some value to be found in the Wild's ability to have the league's highest differential in terms of between expected goals and their Corsi. They're also the only team in the bottom 10 of score-adjusted Corsi that is headed to the playoffs. So at number four, I've got Barry Trotz, the New York Islanders. And as usual, at least in recent seasons, the Islanders have exceeded expectations. They're strong defensively, which tends to be more system-related, and they're weak offensively. The goaltending duo of Semyon Varlamov and Ilya Sorokin was excellent. And while strong goaltending, you know, might be considered a ding against a coach's credentials, if it's a team that depends on strong strong defensive profile, maybe the coach doesn't need to be punished too severely for it. All told, Trotz is worthy of consideration, as he has been probably for most of the past decade. He's won a couple of times, but has certainly been in the conversation more than that. At number three, I've got Joel Quenneville in Florida. And while the Panthers front office is going to get tons of credit for all their offseason changes, bringing in Carter Verhaeghe and Patrick Hornqvist and Alexander Wennberg and Anthony Duclair, Gustav Forsling, Radko Gudas, Marcus Nudivara, ultimately, Coach Quenneville had to make all the pieces fit, and most of them did. They added Sam Bennett and Brandon Montour at the trade deadline. They've assimilated too. Maybe the biggest decision and challenge for Quenneville is that he's had to give Chris Driedger more action in net as he outperforms their big money goaltender, Sergei Bobrovsky. Even with Bobrovsky not playing well, the Panthers have still finished in second place in the Central. They're 1 point behind Carolina, and they did so controlling 54.3% of shot attempts, 54.6% of expected goals, and they didn't drop off when they lost their number one defenseman to injury. So there's quite a bit there that makes Joel Quenneville a viable candidate. My runner-up is Pittsburgh Penguins coach Mike Sullivan, and I was relatively high on the Penguins in the preseason, but that certainly wasn't a universal opinion. So the fact that they're on top of the East, Sullivan does deserve credit for that, particularly when it happens during a season which Evgeny Malkin and Jared McCann and Kasperi Kapanen and Brandon Tanev each missed at least a dozen games. The goaltending has gotten better as the season progressed, but overall, the tandem of Tristan Jarry and Casey DeSmith has been around league average. And so given the Penguins' injuries, the fact that their GM, Jim Rutherford, up and quit during the season, Sullivan has had to overcome some hurdles. Pittsburgh's underlying numbers were only okay. 51.2% of score-adjusted shot attempts, 49.9% of score-adjusted expected goals, and their performance was stronger defensively than it was offensively. The biggest factor in the Penguins being above average this season was that their power play was great once again. And you know, given the talent that the Penguins roll out on their first power play unit, I don't know that you necessarily have to give the coaches huge credit for it. But I think if you look at, you know, the injuries that the Penguins overcame and the fact that they exceeded preseason expectations in many circles, that certainly makes Sullivan a worthy candidate. But my pick, and he's probably a popular pick, is Rod Brind'Amour in Carolina. You know, it's been a steady build over the past couple of seasons, and the team kind of busted through this season to be a bona fide Stanley Cup contender. They have the best record in the Central Division, 36-12-8. The Hurricanes have had a few notable injuries. They lost Teuvo Teravainen for a good chunk of the season. Starting goaltender Peter Mrazek was hurt, but the injury to Mrazek opened the door for Alex Nedeljkovic to get into their goaltending mix, and Nedeljkovic was great, which I suppose in some ways hurts Brind'Amour's case, but you know, the AHL goaltender coming up and playing great, I don't know how much that should punish the coach of the year case. In any event, the Hurricanes controlled 55% of the shot attempts, 54.4% of expected goals at 5-on-5, and that consistency of winning shot battles has been behind Brind'Amour's Hurricane success from the outset, and it's just kind of carried through to, I suppose, its logical conclusion this year, is that now this team that was building and starting to contend is now right in the mix. And so Rod Brind'Amour gets my vote ahead of Mike Sullivan and Joel Quenneville, but I think any of those guys is very worthy of the award this year. Stonks, memes, rocket ships, day trading can be a lot of fun, but if you want to grow your long-term wealth and make it to the moon, you should open up a Wealthfront investment account today. Decades of data show that investors that trade individual stocks underperform the market every year. In fact, only 1% of day traders beat the market. The odds are not in your favor if you're doing it alone. team up with Wealthfront instead. Investing can be complicated, but whether you're a beginner or you've been investing for years, Wealthfront makes it easy. They have the right tools for every portfolio. Wealthfront can create a portfolio of globally diversified, low-cost index funds personalized just for you in minutes. No manual trades, no picking stocks, no watching the stock market every day. They automatically handle all the investing based on preferences you control. Wealthfront can even help you lower the taxes you pay as you invest. For the average client, their tax loss harvesting can more than cover the low annual 0.25% advisory fee. Best of all, it's automatic. Wealthfront is trusted with more than $20 billion of assets, and you can get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL. All you need is $500 to get started. Grow your wealth the easy way and let Wealthfront do the work for you. To get your first $5,000 managed for free for life, go to wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL. That's WealthFront.com/lockedonNHL to start growing your savings. Go to wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL and get started today. All right, so now let's take a look at season ending or almost ending NHL power rankings. We wanted to kind of check in on where teams finished up the regular season and where they are headed into the playoffs. And we'll go from 31-1. No surprise at number 31 is the Buffalo Sabres. And believe it or not, the Sabres were not destined to be awful this season. They were 4-4-2 in their first 10 games. They had decent underlying numbers and numbers that even would have suggested they could be competitive this year. But then they had a COVID breakout and won two of their next 24 games. The only two wins came against a New Jersey Devils team that also had its own COVID breakout. Star center Jack Eichel was limited to 16 games, and he sure appears to be ready for a fresh start somewhere else. And that means there'll be some big decisions for GM Kevin Adams. At number 30, the Detroit Red Wings. And even though they were overmatched in terms of talent, the Red Wings were at least a competitive group in the second half of the season. The real question is how this rebuild they're involved in is going to take shape. They have prospects and a bunch of draft picks, but those players are going to be years away from making an impact. The good news is Steve Yzerman seems to be making smart moves as the Red Wings prepare for the future, but I guess the question here is, you know, how far out is the horizon? Are the Red Wings, you know, contenders in 3 years? Is it 5 years? I would hope that it comes faster than that, but they're still working their way out of the hole, I think. Number 29, the Anaheim Ducks. And their rebuilding effort might really be starting now because they have a couple of key building blocks. Trevor Zegras, their center, and defenseman Jamie Drysdale. Those are cornerstone pieces for their future. But if you look at the Ducks roster otherwise, it seems kind of a mismatched group. They're too young, too old, and ultimately not good enough. We'll expect better things from the Ducks, but it also it might be a few years before they're actually contending again. At number 28, we've got the Columbus Blue Jackets. And you know what? The Jack Roslovic trade worked out okay for Columbus, much better than the Patrick Laine trade. But overall, Blue Jackets had a hard time scoring. Goaltender Jonas Korpisalo could not duplicate his performance in the bubble last season. And head coach John Tortorella has now moved on. A new outlook is required. It might have been required a year ago. But when the Blue Jackets knocked off the Maple Leafs in their playoff series or play-in series last year, probably got harder to make changes. And so as a result, Columbus kind of took their lumps this season. Number 27, the New Jersey Devils. And for the Devils, it was essentially a tryout season for a lot of them. It was pretty clear they weren't going to contend for a playoff spot in the East. Particularly after the team crashed following their COVID outbreak. And so they used the opportunity to see what they might have for the future in terms of, you know, trying out a bunch of young wingers, and they got to see probably more than they might have expected from Yegor Sharangovich and Yanni Kukkonen. And it's still a work in progress, but there were some signs to at least be somewhat hopeful about the Devils' plans as they build for the future. Number 26, the San Jose Sharks. And the Sharks, their problem seems to be they have perilously little depth. And you might expect that to be an issue when you've tied up $26.5 million in cap space for Erik Karlsson, Brent Burns, and Mark-Edward Vlasic, three defensemen who, you know, really aren't difference makers anymore. And, you know, maybe that could change. But if those three are getting paid that much and not impacting the game, well, it's really tough to make a contender around them. At number 25, we've got the Ottawa Senators, which, and it's not like the Senators were a great team this year, but they were competitive. And so being ranked at 25 is probably has to be counted as a win. And they played their kids. So we got to see a lot of Brady Tkachuk and Josh Norris and Drake Batherson and Tim Stützle. They all got valuable reps that, you know, you can consider them as part of the core of this Ottawa rebuild. Now, they still need more proven talent. They need much better goaltending. But after this season, it's probably fair to at least be somewhat hopeful about the Senators' future. Number 24 is the Vancouver Canucks. Elias Pettersson struggled early. Then he was starting to come around, but ended up getting injured and has missed the second half of the season. The bigger challenge for Vancouver is figuring out how they're going to take this cap-strapped team and turn it into a contender. You know, a year or two ago, you would have said, okay, we've got Quinn Hughes, we've got Elias Pettersson. You know, we can start moving in the right direction here. But when you look at all the, you know, the bad contracts that they have, it really seems to tie their hands, and it's going to be a challenge to put the right pieces in place. At number 23, the Los Angeles Kings. They got strong seasons out of their veterans, Andre Kopitar and Drew Doughty and Dustin Brown, all had strong performances again, but their supporting cast isn't quite ready, and so the Kings struggled. And it was, I guess, made even worse, I suppose, by how much they played Jonathan Quick, because Quick was, you know, he's obviously revered in the organization. You know, you win Stanley Cups for a team, and they tend to give you a long leash to in your performance. But, you know, we're a few years into Jonathan Quick being a subpar goaltender, and, you know, it continued to struggle this year. Now, it's not the end of the world in the case of the Kings. They probably weren't expecting to be contenders this year. But I think moving forward, they cannot continue to alternate starts between Jonathan Quick and Cal Peterson. Number 22, Chicago, who were surprisingly competitive in the first half of the season. Goaltender Kevin Lankinen stepped in when they struggled early with Colin Delia and Malcolm Subban. And Lankinen played well. But he faded, and Chicago faded, as they couldn't rely on their goaltending to bail them out. As we wind up the season, they're looking at 43.3% of expected goals. That's pretty rough. That's not a team that, you know, should be in the playoffs. But for a while, it looked like they had a chance. Number 21, Philadelphia Flyers. And you know what? The Flyers were 14-9-3 in mid-March, reasonably competitive. And then they lost 9-0 to the New York Rangers, and they pretty much were into a tailspin there. And subpar goaltending, Carter Hart just had a disaster of a second half, and that dragged the Flyers down, so that they, you know, fell out of playoff contention. And it just seems they're probably due for some changes in the off season. But you also can look at that roster and think, you know, they're not that far off that with the right move or two, they could be back into playoff contention. At number 20, the Arizona Coyotes, who were surprisingly competitive for a good portion of the season. Then they won 5 of 17 games down the stretch as they fell out of playoff contention. And expectation is now going into the offseason, they're going to aim to go younger and cheaper for the future. This is not the first time the Coyotes have decided they were going to cut costs. So we'll see how the roster shakes out after that. But, I mean, they already have a bunch of unrestricted free agent defensemen coming. So they actually should have some flexibility if they want to be creative in this offseason. But the Coyotes will probably have a new look next year. At number 19, the Calgary Flames. And they still have 4 games left against Vancouver. But overall, Flames have been a disappointment. And no matter who was coaching, they're 12-14 under Daryl Sutter after he took over. And, you know, so it didn't exactly pay immediate dividends to make their coaching change. And, you know, there should be some big changes coming this summer. Now, Sean Monahan has just had hip surgery, and so he might have been somebody who was considered to be a prime trade candidate for Calgary this summer, but I don't know how easy that would be if he's in rehab as he comes back from hip surgery. At number 18, we have the New York Rangers. And it's sort of bizarre that the Rangers cleaned house, firing the president, GM, and head coach, following a season which they were kind of right on expectations. It doesn't make a ton of sense, especially because the Rangers played well in the second half of the season. It's not like they staggered into the finish. They were one of the most electrifying teams, really, in the last couple of months. So it's bizarre, but they have a roster and the organizational depth with prospects, and that they're poised to be contenders and at least to be a playoff team next season. But the Rangers could be, set up to do even better in the few years to come. Now, number 17, we actually have a playoff team, St. Louis Blues. And after a strong start to the season, the Blues went through a really long stretch of poor play in the middle of the season before they rallied late to secure their spot in the playoffs. The interesting thing about the Blues is that they have enough recent championship pedigree, having won the Stanley Cup in 2019, that they should be lively underdogs. They're definitely going to be underdogs in the playoffs, but you never know if Ryan O'Reilly comes up big for them, if Colton Parayko has a great series. Maybe they could surprise. But anyway, when we come back, we will go through the top 16 teams in the season-ending power rankings. Rock Auto is an online parts source where you can get just about anything for any kind of vehicle. And rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for nearly 20 years. Go to rockauto.com, shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks, delivered directly to your door. The rockauto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low. The same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How'd You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including Major League Baseball, the NBA, NHL, and all of your UFC MMA action. Before the next puck drop, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get into the game as teams prep for the runs to the playoffs. Head to the website, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device to sign up today, receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Use promo code LOCKEDON at BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Okay, let's look at the top half of teams in the power rankings. So at number 16, we've got the Winnipeg Jets. They're heading into the playoffs with two wins in their past 11 games. That's not ideal. Still one to go, but even if the Jets win another, they're not exactly hitting the playoffs on a high point. They're obviously missing Nikolaj Ehlers, who's been injured here late in the season, but their problems also run deeper than that. They're consistently getting outshot and outchanced by the opposition. And, when things are going great and Connor Hellebuck, he can bail them out from some of those games when they're getting outshot, but that's not exactly a winning formula over the long haul. Number 15, a team that didn't make the playoffs, the Dallas Stars. Last year's Stanley Cup finalists went through a lot. They had a COVID outbreak to start the season, power outage in Texas, and that just jammed their schedule tighter and tighter. And then they had injuries. Ben Bishop missed the entire season. Tyler Seguin returned in the final week. And even so, the Stars were probably a pretty good team that deserved a playoff spot. But ultimately, their record in games where it went beyond 60 minutes was 7-14, and that probably sealed their fate. At number 14, we've got the Montreal Canadiens. It doesn't appear the decision to replace Claude Julien behind the bench with Dominique Ducharme has had the desired effect, as the Habs basically limped into the playoff spot. If Brendan Gallagher returns and Carey Price is healthy and in vintage form, maybe they have a chance against Toronto. But given how Carey Price has played this season, how could you possibly expect that? And there's surely going to be some passion from Montreal's side, and when you're playing a rival in the playoffs. But for Montreal to win that series, they would have to vastly outperform what they have done so far this season. Number 13 is the Edmonton Oilers. And when the Oilers, you know, consider they have the best player in the game, there's always a chance. And so Connor McDavid, he definitely qualifies best player in the game. He had a Gretzky-like season if you adjust for era. And if the Oilers are going to make noise in the playoffs, though, I mean, McDavid has to be McDavid. They also need 39-year-old goaltender Mike Smith to keep playing at a high level. This was Smith's best season since 2011-2012. And if you had, you know, said coming into the year that, well, yes, Connor McDavid's going to, you know, score 100 points, but, you know, they're still going to need Mike Smith to be great in goal to, you know, be where they are in the standings, I don't think a lot of people would have said, yeah, that's probably going to happen. You know, there have been a lot of lean years here in the tail end of Mike Smith's career. So the fact that he's been so good for them, he's obviously a really important part as they head into the playoffs. Number 12, we've got the Minnesota Wild, who's a very solid team. You know, they got a real dose of electricity, I'd say, from rookie Kirill Kaprizov. But kind of surrounding him, it's a competent group. And you know, competent may not be the most exciting, or it may not be a team that has the ceiling that's high enough to, you know, ultimately win a Stanley Cup. You know, they are a deserved playoff team, but I also don't know that I expect them to go deep either. Number 11, the New York Islanders. The Islanders are another team. They play a sound defensive game. They have strong goaltending, good coaching. And is that enough to advance in the postseason, even when they have a hard time scoring? You know, they lost Captain Andersley to a knee injury, and then at the deadline, they acquired Kyle Palmieri and Travis Zajac from New Jersey. That hasn't really panned out just yet, and so it's going to be a challenge for the Islanders. But I'm sort of beyond the point of underestimating them. I've done it enough in the past that I wouldn't put anything past them now. Number 10, the Nashville Predators. You know, talk about a surprise. They were going nowhere fast this season, and looked like they would be the team most poised to be sellers at the trade deadline. And then goaltender UC Saros basically flipped the switch and became the best goaltender in the league. The Predators don't have a great statistical profile. They're under 50% in terms of shot attempts and expected goals. But if you have a hot goalie, that could cause some problems in a series or two. I don't know that you can ride UC Saros and mediocrity otherwise to a deep run in the playoffs, but it could cause problems in the first round or two. Number 9, the Washington Capitals. And this is a fairly typical Capitals team. There haven't been a lot of major changes there. You know, they're strong enough at evens, devastating on the power play. But Alex Ovechkin missed time down the stretch, and that never happens. You know, will he be healthy enough and good to go on a postseason run? They probably have some disappointment with the way the season went for Evgeny Kuznetsov. And I don't know that they would have expected Vitek Vanecek to play as much as he did in goal. Certainly coming into the season, Henrik Lundqvist was going to be their guy, but, you know, heart surgery took priority there. And so then it became Ilya Samsonov and Vitek Vanecek. But Samsonov, you know, between injuries and COVID violations, has not, you know, really seized the opportunity to be the number one guy. Now, he probably is the Capitals' choice to be their starting goaltender, but it's not as though he has proven and established himself in that spot either. Number 8, we got the Florida Panthers, who had a remarkable season considering all the changes they made last offseason, and they're going to get a shot at the Tampa Bay Lightning in a battle of Florida, and at the very least, that will be compelling and interesting to see those rivals go at it, but I also think the Panthers aren't just going to be happy to be there. They're not, you know, going to be satisfied that, hey, we made the playoffs and that's great, because, you know, there should be some element of satisfaction to take this team to the playoffs. But they had a stronger season than just making the playoffs. They should have expectations beyond. Number 7, the Pittsburgh Penguins. You know what? In mid-February, the Penguins were 7-6-1. And since then, they've gone 30-10-2. They had to play through a bunch of injuries, including most notably to Evgeny Malkin, who missed a bunch of time. And, you know, there's a lot of familiar faces who are doing the work there. It's Sidney Crosby and Jake Guentzel and Chris Letang and Brian Rust. But you know, the fact that that they were able to go for as long as they did without Malkin and just keep climbing in the standings is a real credit to them. And you know, now that Malkin is back, you know, maybe the Penguins are a little bit more dangerous heading into the playoffs. At number six, the Toronto Maple Leafs, the top team in the North Division, and the Maple Leafs are legitimate cup contenders. They've also have just one regulation loss in the past 11 games, so they're heading into the postseason in you know, in good shape. There are certainly going to be there are questions whether the, you know, is Jack Campbell, is he ready to be their goaltender for a playoff run? You know, Campbell doesn't exactly have a long history of anything really in the National Hockey League, but he's played really well when given the opportunity for the Leafs this year, and so we will see if this is the year that the Maple Leafs not only advance beyond the first round, but if they could maybe, you know, come out of the North Division, get to the semifinals. Well, you know, that would be a real step in the right direction for a team that's been building, but obviously has stalled every time they've reached the playoffs. Number five, we got the Tampa Bay Lightning. Lightning, they're going to be a handful, obviously, if they're healthy, and from the sounds of it, they're going to be. Nikita Kucherov missed the whole season. Steven Stamkos and Victor Hedman were injured late in the season. But if they're all good to go at the start, the Lightning are obviously going to be really tough. If those guys are sidelined, or you know, Hedman's performance, like, he hasn't missed a ton of time, but his performance definitely dipped. And so if those are still factors, well, then Tampa Bay might have a hard time with Florida right out of the gate here in the playoffs. But if, you know, all those guys are in fine form, and you have Kucherov, you're adding Stamkos and Kucherov up front, and Hedman, you know, maybe with a little rest at the end of the season, might you know, rebound. Well, then, you know, then Tampa Bay is going to be a real threat to win a second straight Stanley Cup. Number four, Carolina Hurricanes. They're dominant at even strength, have excellent power play and penalty killing. So there is not one area where you can look at the Hurricanes and go, yeah, that's where we're going to take advantage of them. And really, they're no longer the plucky underdog feel-good story. They're legit contenders and probably will be for years to come. But, you know, this is a team in this specific season who is going to have legitimate expectations of competing for the Cup. Number three, got the Vegas Golden Knights. And all season long, it has looked like the Colorado Avalanche and the Golden Knights are on a collision course. Two premier cup contenders that are playing in the same division. But, you know, that could be the second round. And so one of those teams is likely going to leave very disappointed about the end result. And Vegas does have the advantage of a better goaltending depth. You know, they managed to, part of the reason that they have such a great record this year is that they could turn to Marc-Andre Fleury when they needed somebody to step in the wake of Robin Lehner's injury. And so there's, you know, that Vegas is going to be a tough out whenever the time comes. At number two, the Boston Bruins. And you know, a month ago, there was not a whole lot of excitement going around the Bruins. And then the trade deadline came. They acquired Taylor Hall and defenseman Mike Riley. You know, since then, the Bruins are outscoring opponents 44-23 during 5-on-5 play in that time. And, you know, that's scoring 65.7% of the goals during 5-on-5. And that's some awfully lopsided stuff. Now, I know there were games against the Sabres in there that might inflate those totals, but nevertheless, you start scoring on a 2-to-1 basis against your opponents in the National Hockey League, and you're probably a team to be reckoned with. And so the Bruins, you know, they obviously have their core that, you know, Bergeron and Marchand and Pastrnak and Krejci, the additions of Hall and Riley really seem to have addressed some very specific needs for that team. And if they get their goaltending, they should be really dangerous yet again. And so the number one team, no surprise by the time we reach this point, is the Colorado Avalanche. Because when they're at their best, the Avalanche are just playing on another level beyond even the best teams in the league. In the modern stats era, since 2007-2008, the best team in terms of score and venue adjusted shot metrics was the 2007-2008 Detroit Red Wings, 59.7% score and venue adjusted Corsi. They also had 56.8% of expected goals. This year's Colorado Avalanche, 60% score adjusted Corsi, 59.8% of score-adjusted expected goals. They've just been ridiculously dominant, and they put up those numbers despite Cale Makar missing a bunch of time. Nathan MacKinnon's missed a handful of games. They're when everybody is in that lineup, they are a sight to see. And so we will see whether or not, I mean, they've still got a lot is pinned on goaltender Philip Grubauer. They need him to be healthy, and they need him to play well. But the Avalanche have just such a high ceiling relative to all the other teams. And that will do it for today. I'm going to keep pumping out podcasts as we head towards the NHL playoffs. We'll do some fantasy playoff prep, and I'll continue with some awards to be handed out at the end of the National Hockey League season. Also, check out Locked On Fantasy Baseball. I'm going to be doing some buy low and sell high, as always. And if you can check out those podcasts, head over to iTunes, maybe drop in a 5-star rating, and check out Stitcher, Spotify, Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts. Stay locked in with Locked On Fantasy Hockey, your daily source for fantasy news and analysis. And get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts.